Running duty December 6th.
First off, my unlimited ovation.
Bangalore.
And the dust of the Lord's feet are my most worshipable picture for today. Vishnu Parishna Om Vishnu Pad Astavra Sat Shri Shimad Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances and the dust of the Lord's feet are my most worshipable Shikshi Gurudev. Om Vishnu Pad Astavra Sat Shri Shimad Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Bhagya, the siblic succession, all the sannyasigan, all Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. So we're continuing our theme of remembrances of Srila Prabhupada, remembrances of Srila Gurudev, how Srila Gurudev is Prabhupada's real successor, and how Srila Gurudev clarified so many things about Srila Prabhupada for us. So just a few things about the early days of Srila Prabhupada. In the morning, he would arrange that we have bananas and milk, and also in the evening, but in the morning, bananas, milk, and cereal. And the sweetener was Rasagula juice. Up in all the quarters, which were in the back of the temple, we used to have a big barrel of Rasagula, which he would pass out sometimes to the devotees, and which sometimes he would feed me while I painted. And he told Kirtan Nanda, who was the cook, that he should make me milk twice a day, because just as fish illuminates the material brain, people eat fish for that, so milk illuminates the brain for spiritual understanding. In the morning, for a while, he was giving classes on Sanatan Shiksha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sri Sanatana Goswami. And sometimes, when he got to a real exciting point, he would say, he would just leave us there like a cliffhanger, and he'd say, and tomorrow we will find out just how, and then the next morning he'd resume from there. As I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada posed for the first Lord Nrisimhadev painting. Also, for a little while, he authorized a comic strip in his Back to Godhead magazine. And once we were doing a comic strip of Krishna, Lord Brahma stealing Krishna's cows, and coward boys. So at that time, in the very beginning of the movement, the brahmacharis used to wear their dhotis in the other Gaudiya Math style, that is, kind of looks like a balloon in front, not with the pleats. And so I didn't know how to make Krishna's dhoti for the comic book drawings. So I asked Prabhupada, and he posed for me. He put one cloth around his sannyas dhoti, and then he was folding it, and he let his sannyas dhoti drop from underneath the new Krishna dhoti. And then he put another cloth around his waist and tied it in a certain knot, just like you see in the Vrishvasi pictures. And he said, sometimes when it gets very hot, the boys take their chadars and tie it around their waist. And then Prabhupada went into a threefold bending form and put the pleats through his legs so it looked like Krishna looks. And then he posed for that. And then after the posing, he sat down at his trunk desk, you know, the metal trunks from India, which he used as his desk. And Govinda and I were talking to him, and I was praising him. He said, I have done nothing extraordinary. I am simply a canvasser for the disciplic succession. And there was little ants crawling on his desk. So I tried to remove the ant, but I was careless and I squashed him. And I felt so bad, you know, imagine killing a living entity right in front of the guru. Govindadasi asked him, did he get a new body? And Gurudev said, at once transferred. Thanks. Once I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada because I had a bad back at that time. So Prabhupada said if I would walk with him every morning, then my back would get better from the exercise. So I got a lot of mercy in that way. So one day, and what's his name? Govindadasi's husband, Gorsundar, he always used to be the one to take Prabhupada on his walk. So the three of us were walking, Gorsundar, Prabhupada, and I, and we passed by this tree, and Prabhupada always used to condemn Mayavadi philosophy. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitadesha Tarni. He would always be giving arguments to destroy Mayavadi philosophy in the Western world. So we passed by the tree, and Prabhupada pulled a leaf from the tree, and he said, holding the leaf and looking at it, he said, the Mayavadis say that it's all green. It's all one. It's all green. There's no variety. But this leaf that he had plucked, this leaf now, because it's detached from the tree, it loses its chlorophyll. And he pretended he was disgusted with this leaf that had theoretically lost its chlorophyll, and he threw it on the ground as if in disgust, and he said, and nobody would touch it. So he was always giving very clear and simple analogies and pictures in our minds to defeat non-Vaishnava and Mayavadi arguments. He also used to take pleasure in defeating the scientist arguments. So I was on another morning walk with him. This is in Boston. And we were coming back, and there were some bushes with some leaves on it. So he took another leaf, and he said, just see the artistry. And he was showing that the veins in the leaf were very symmetrical. And he said, the scientist, he would have to struggle to make one leaf like that. And also, as the seasons change, to paint all those thousands and millions of trees a different color, every time the seasons change, the scientist's brain should perspire. But Krishna does it so easily. And once back in New York, one of the first brahmacharis, Achyutananda, brought Prabhupada flower because he had flower vases around his little altar up in his quarters. So Achyutananda brought that flower, I don't remember the name of it, but it's shaped like a heart and it's red and it has this thing that looks like an elephant trunk coming out of it. And at first, Prabhupada chastised him. It's red, like a heart, and it has this whitish... You know which one I mean? And at first, Prabhupada chastised him, and he said, you shouldn't bring Krishna flowers that don't have any fragrance. But then Prabhupada turned to me and he said, just see the artistry. So he's showing us how to appreciate Krishna everywhere. And in New Jersey, he was being personally served by Grisindar's wife, Govindadasi, and he told her that, because she was also painting, so she painted some flowers in a painting of Krishna that she did. So Gurudev said to her, it takes you all day to paint one flower, and it doesn't even smell nice. It smells like oil paint. But see how Krishna, showing her the garden, see how Krishna makes thousands and millions of painted flowers that smell with such fragrance. So he was always bringing the philosophy to life in his dealings with us. And also when I went to visit him in New Jersey, even in those days, the brahmacharis used to make fun of the girls and twist around the Prabhupada's books by saying all the ladies are less intelligent than all the men. So I asked Govindadasi to ask Prabhupada, because she kept going in and out of his room. She had that easy access that some people have nowadays with Gurudev. So I asked her to ask him, or to tell him, that I feel bad that I can't make as much advancement as the brahmacharis. So then she came out later and she said that Prabhupada said, yes, if you think that you're a lady, how can you make any advancement? And he also showed by his personal example how to be tolerant. He was like the personification of tolerance. Like one time in Boston, he was doing this fire sacrifice for us. It was marriage ceremony for three newly married couples. So he was on one side of the fire, and we were on the other side of the fire. And when he was saying the mantras, we would throw the grains into the fire. So because he was on the other side of the fire, some of the grains were passing over the fire and landing on him, on his lap. So after some time, Prabhupada said in a very even tone, unto the fire, not unto me. Another time he showed me that tolerance was he invited me when I was painting downstairs, and I was painting the first painting of the Panchatattva Sankirtan. I mentioned the other day that Prabhupada was so encouraging to us little babies. So when he came over to the painting, he made a big announcement. He said, Krishna has sent. So then, at that time, he invited me to paint up in his quarters. And I told him that I hesitate because the fumes of the oil paint were so bad. So he said, no problem. So I was painting up there, and whenever I was finished with the painting, I would go to the lumber yard right in the neighborhood and get some very thin strips of plywood and paint them kind of a bluish green, like that bluish green stripe. And then I would nail it onto the canvas as a little frame. So, and then I would leave at night and then come back the next morning. So when I came back the next morning one day, Srila Prabhupada told me, please be very careful about the nails because I stepped on one. And just that same thought, I felt completely terrible. You can imagine if a spiritual master says that to you. But he was so even and humble about it. we were visiting him in New Jersey, a few of us were sitting at the foot of his bed. He was sitting up on his bed. And he quoted one verse in the Bhagavatam, which meant, this material world is an ocean of misery, but if anyone takes shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna, then that big ocean, Srimadan Mohan Ki Jai, then that big ocean would become as small as the water contained in the footprint of the calf in the mud. Then he said, there was only like two or three of us sitting at his bed. Then he said, when a boy is riding by on his bicycle, and he's passing by such a little puddle, he doesn't even know that it's there. And then, just to show you what he was starting with at that time, I used to wear shorts sometimes, and one of the brahmacharis told me not to wear shorts, and I didn't know if he was right. So during that visit in New Jersey, when I was sitting at the foot of his bed, I asked him about wearing shorts, if it was all right. So he said, the attraction is already there, don't aggravate it. And then there just happened to have been a picture of Draupadi behind him up on the wall. I know you people in India can't imagine anybody wearing shorts. Like from another planet. So there was a picture of Draupadi there. And she was like this. And Dusasan and Duryodhana, well, Dusasan was trying to take off her garments, and she was praying to Krishna, and Krishna was supplying her garments. So Prabhupada pointed to that picture, and he said that it's natural for a lady to be very shy. We're in an unnatural civilization. Then he said, he glorified the Sikh ladies whose only their eyes showed. And then he said, a lady should be so covered that even the sun, S-U-N, cannot see her. And I wrote him so many letters asking him how to do the paintings. Well, I'll tell you one more story about New Jersey, which was that after we came in from the beach, we all followed him into his bedroom. And on a small table in his bedroom, there was a picture of Mother Yasoda taking Krishna's ear and chastising him for stealing yogurt. And way in the distance, hiding behind the tree, peeping out from the two sides was two of Krishna's friends. So Prabhupada brought us all over to that picture, and he said, Krishna's friends think that Krishna got caught, but we got away with it. So, but they don't know that in the next few minutes they'll also be caught. Because then he gave a new slant on Krishna being Damodar, with the 2 inches, and he said, Krishna is always 2 inches ahead of you, so don't try to outsmart him. So Prabhupada wrote me so many letters, as I mentioned yesterday, in answer to questions about what things look like. So once we had to paint from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about Brahma creating the different forms of life, like the demigods, the kings, the hobgoblins, insects, snakes, Brahmins, all kinds of different kinds of bodies. And in the text, it said that he threw off different bodies in the disgust. When there were so many low bodies, then he was disgusted, and he threw off that body, and then he created the wonderful demigods. So I asked Prabhupada what that should look like, and he said, make it that just like if you have some dirt on your body, and in disgust you flick it off. So we made Brahma with that expression. And also, when Brahma was creating the universe, first he created the five coverings of ignorance. So that was very abstract. That was greed, anger after frustration, fear of death, self, when you fool yourself, self-deception, so those five. So I was wondering, because they're abstract, what it should look like. So Prabhupada wrote me that you can make self-deception like my disciples know what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do, but sometimes they don't follow it. So then I painted somebody smoking and coughing at the same time. They know it's good for them, but they don't do it. And once, when I was in New York, because often I used to go to the library, to the art section, and get some, copy some of the old master's pictures and combine them together to make some of the paintings of Radha and Krishna. So once I took a painting of Radha from the library art, and she was facing a little bit away from Krishna, but I thought she was very attractive, so I copied her. So then I had a painting of Radha and Krishna, with her facing a little bit away from Krishna and holding the garland. So first, when Prabhupada came to New York, I was in Boston, and my painting was there. So I heard secondhand from some other devotee that Prabhupada criticized that why is Radharani holding the garland and facing away from Krishna? So then when he came to Boston, I apologized. I said, like, I'll change the painting or I'll make a new painting. So he said, no, Radharani is giving Radharani a garland for painting so many nice pictures of Krishna. So this is again just to show how encouraging he is, the perfect spiritual parent is to the little babies. And how easy it is to misunderstand Prabhupada, and I misunderstood this point for 26 years until I finally met Gurudev and he explained it. Yesterday in the slideshow, I showed you one picture that was kind of at an angle of the bust of Prabhupada and then the deity of Kartamishai. Krishna standing like that, very young, about 5 or 6 years old, in San Francisco. So when Prabhupada saw the painting that I did from the little photo that he sent me, he said, my desire is to be his friend. So from that I thought, plus he was often glorifying Krishna's coward boys. So from that I thought, well, surely Prabhupada is a coward boy. And I used to preach that to the devotees, especially on his parents' days. So I was one of the main jumbos to spread that around. And then, when I met Gurudev in 1992, I heard him start saying that when he hears that Prabhupada is a coward boy, which only falsely indicates that he's derailed from the Rupa Nuga Vaishnava line, he said, I feel like my heart sounds like a thunderbolt. It's like a thunderbolt hits my heart. So now I'll share some of my personal experiences with Srila Gurudev. Unless first, if anybody has any questions about these old stories or any other question in relation to Prabhupada. We'll take a question break. Loud?
After hearing this question from you, I am thinking why only you got chance, not so many other people.
Many people were there. I mean, many people, many God brothers and God sisters got the same chance.
Especially the paintings and Prabhupada studying and all. Like Prabhupada narrating, and you had a very intimate relationship. After your narration, I could understand that Prabhupada loves you so much, loves you so much. And then you had such a, and you also had such an intimate relationship. Like, how was that possible? It happened or it's an arrangement?
Were you answering that?
Yes, because Samarani can't answer that. Because then she would be involved in self-glorification.
Well, I could say it's my past decretees from past lives.
It's past decretees from past lives, and Prabhupada recognized. Prabhupada conceived 10,000 births before. It was just his Samarani coming to him to help him in addition. So it's not like Dr. Bob coming to him. So this is Krishna's arrangement, that his Anga has come to help in the mission. It's not all one. Everyone's got different secretes, different adhikara, different relationships.
I don't know how it happened. Any other? So many people who Prabhupada gave intimate connection with, later on either left him, or after he disappeared from the vision of the world, they thought that they were with him, but by being against Gurudev, they were really against Prabhupada. So our secretes give us some association from past secretes, but then if we commit offenses and don't be very sincere, then we can lose that and go all the way down again. Any other before we continue?
Or
louder?
No question. Or devotees who are doing artwork now, it's difficult to ask so many questions to you about this thing and this and this. Like doing artwork for Brave Bhagavatamrita or other books, it seems like you won't be giving the point-to-point explanation that this hair should be like this, this jewelry should be like this. So how to get those answers?
So you're asking that nowadays when devotees do art, it's hard to get such detailed answers as Prabhupada used to give. And as Gurudev used to give. Because from 1992 till just a few months ago, he was still giving whatever questions we needed answered. So regarding the Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita, I sent the other artists paintings to Gurudev along with questions, and he did answer them. Like in one painting he said, Gold Kumar should not be wearing jewelry. In another painting he said there should be no peacock feather in a painting of Ram, not a peacock fan. Jane is just another kind of fan. So he was giving until he is doing this present pastime of apparent illness, he was giving so much instructions. So I'm not fully understanding your question. Plus now, we have so many books that we didn't have in the olden days. So we can refer to books also. And most recently, when Srila Gurudev was in Russia, we had some questions from some ex-DBT artists from Italy who I met at Gurudev Festival, and who agreed, even though they didn't know Gurudev, they agreed to, one of them just met at the festival for the first time, and the other one never met him, but they agreed to paint for his 10th canto. So in Russia, I had to ask questions for one of their sketches. That is, Vasudev is bringing Krishna from, baby Krishna, from Mathura to Vrindavan, and then he's placing, he doesn't see that there's already a baby Krishna right next to Mother Yasoda. For him, it is invisible. So he was bringing the Krishna from Mathura and placing him by the side of Yasoda. So the artist needed to know what kind of bed it was, and what kind of, was it in the palace or in the maternity ward or what. So I asked Madhav Maharaj, because I told him I wanted to ask Gurudev, and Madhav Maharaj said that, well, in Indian culture, when a lady just gets a baby, she doesn't lie on a bed, but she lies on the ground on some kind of sheet. So she and the babies would be on the ground. So then we went in and asked Gurudev the same thing, and he confirmed it. And Gurudev also said that Vasudev didn't see the other baby, and that the two babies merged. So we did get whatever instructions we needed. And from now on, I can't say what will happen. But I can just say what has been happening. So your question is answered? Okay. And otherwise, I've heard so much from the both of them, so a lot of times I can answer the artist's questions. Any one last thing before I continue? All right, your question was, was it just Abhiman for the gopis in this world, or did they really have husbands? So I remember that in Gurudev's Raghuvarma Chandrika discussion, he said that Yogamaya arranged the marriages of the gopis and their so-called husbands so that they would sink, but they were arranged by Yogamaya, so that they would think that this is my husband and that I'm leaving my husband for Krishna. Otherwise, there's no conception, there's no question of paramour love. Unless I think I'm leaving my husband for another lover, then there's no risk. Then it's swakya. So they had the Abhiman, and that Abhiman was arranged by Yogamaya. You speak louder? So you're asking if, just like Radharani has Kutila and Jutila, do all the gopis have their in-laws? Not only do the gopis have in-laws, but the Manjaris also have in-laws. And Gurudev was explaining again in the Raghuvarma Chandrika Darshan, which we asked Gurudev in Russia if we can make a book out of. I think many of you have received those darshans in the Hare Katha meeting. He's answering the questions of the ISKCON GBC, and there he was saying that the Manjaris also cheat their in-laws in order to go and serve Radharani and help her cheat her in-laws. Like they might massage the legs of Jatila and help. They have the conception, Abhiman, that I'm cheating my in-laws to go to serve Radharani. Otherwise, it's not paramour. Because the Manjaris are also Madhuriras. They're also in Paratiyaras. Otherwise, we wouldn't say in that verse, Unat Ujjalarasam Swabhakti Sriyam. Because that's also Ujjalaras, which is Paratiyaras. But it's just through Radharani. So they also have that conception. So you're asking that in Brahma Vimohan Lila, when Garga Rishi advised that this is the time for betrothal, this is the time to mix, to decide who's the husband. So at that time, Krishna was the husband. Krishna was the coward boy, so they were actually betrothed to Krishna. So then what happened later? That's your question? So after the year, the boys again became the original boys, but the gopis were betrothed to Krishna. So it was really Krishna that they were married to. And the reason Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī was able to use this as an example of how the gopis were swakīya to Krishna, because really they were betrothed to Krishna. They didn't have any other husbands. So, but they had other husbands later, but actually they were married to Krishna, not to these other people. So any way you look at it, the point is that any way you look at it, they're Krishnas. Paratiya and swakīya are the same thing, ultimately. Because paratiya means they belong to others, and swakīya means they belong to Krishna as married, lawfully married wife. But even those who are paratiya, they belong to Krishna because they're Krishna's energy, and also they betrothed to Krishna. So in this way, Jiva Goswami established that there's nothing immoral in a relationship, and then Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur also substantiated that there's nothing immoral in the relationship. But ultimately, they're swakīya because they're all the energy of Krishna. Does that help?
He's asking also that in the original sakra, then how did they know that who was my wife, who was my gopī wife? They were in the cave 1 year. When they came out, they weren't actually married.
They had no idea of being married.
They got married later.
Oh, I see.
How did they find out, what happened to them? How did that all get...
I haven't heard Gurudev or Prabhupada or read it anywhere. How they found out, I just know that Yogamaya made the arrangement.
It was written in your Haribita mailing list, it was that question came there, and Gurudev was that Yogamaya made all the arrangements. So he talked about how it was...
Uh-huh. So how it happened, I don't know, but she made the arrangement. Gurudev said that Yogamaya arranged the marriages so that just so that they would think that they were married. Just for the lila of, because without that, there's no question of paramour love. There's no question of parakhi arise. There's no question of risk. And there's no question of circumventing all rules and regulations. And what big deal is that the gopis do then? If in Vedic culture, chastity to the husband was not considered, it was considered the greatest glory of a lady to be chaste to the husband. And the greatest condemnation of a lady was to be unchaste. And she's ridiculed and rejected in society. So to take that supreme risk meant that they had to think that they were married to another person. So it's necessary for lila. Just like there's no need of sunlight and moonlight and electricity, Bhagavad Gita says, but it's necessary for lila. That the moon is rising and Krishna, Bhagavan appear, although he's God, he's inspired by the moon, which made the whole sky red, that I should, I'm inspired by the moon who left his wife, the, what's that? The moon's rising and the west horizon? The western horizon? Moon rises on the west. On the eastern horizon? So he left his other wife and now he's going to his paramour, the eastern horizon, and putting kumkum all over her, decorating her with kumkum. So I'm in the dynasty of the moon. So I'm inspired by my ancestor, the moon, to also dance with my paramour lovers, the gopis. And so Bhagavan appeared, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he played on his flute and called all the gopis in the beginning of the third season. So there's no need of sunlight or moonlight or electricity, but for lila, all these things are there. Okay, so some experiences that I had with Srila Gurudev. I complained to him that I never know what I'm doing when I'm painting. I'm always, every time I make a stroke, I think, okay, who's going to make the next stroke? But there's nobody there, I'm sitting alone. So I think, alright, and I don't know what I'm doing, but I make the next stroke. So once I complained to Gurudev that I feel like I'm painting in the dark because I never know what I'm doing. And he said, no, you're painting by my light. In other words, even though you don't know it, I am giving you inspiration what to do. When I was finished with the silver conch painting, I asked him, how come this painting took so long? It took 5 months. And I worked really hard, sometimes 14 hours a day. So he replied, because I had to push my will through your will, and that's what took so long. And also I'll tell you another couple of secrets. In the Sevakunj painting, you see the flute there, and you know sometimes at the top of the flute it looks like there's a face, like an elephant head. So you can see that that elephant head looks very sad. So there, Krishna's flute looks is very sad because Krishna's saying to Radharani, like Gurudev posed for Krishna. going like this. And he's saying to her, what more can I give you? I've given you my prized possession, my flute. So all this time the flute was always, the gopis were always envious of the flute. But here Krishna is putting the flute at Radharani's feet. So the flute is like defeated. And one more. Gurudev said that I should paint Pan beetle leaves as one of the things that are on the asana. And one last thing. The picture was about three quarters done. And then Gurudev never called me. But he called me from Vrindavan to Mathura. And he said, I want you to put some manjaris peeping through the creepers. However many will fit comfortably. Don't make it too congested, but however many will fit comfortably, put the manjaris peeping in. And whatever Radharani is experiencing, they're also experiencing. And they're just waiting for when Radharani calls them to come in to do their services. Like if Krishna wants a comb to comb Radharani's hair, for example. And when I put them in, I told Gurudev who I think they are. I said, is that my imagination? He said, no, it's not. But don't tell anybody who you can see that they are. Everybody should realize it by their own bhajan, who those manjaris are. So those were a couple of things about that. And then, in 1990, just before I came, Gurudev was having those discussions with the GBCs, and he was telling them that some services that the manjaris do, because she's afraid to go out at night, because there's all kinds of snakes, and sometimes it's very bad weather at night, and it's raining and muddy, and there's lots of sticks on the ground, lots of broken branches on the ground. So what the manjaris do is, in Radharani's courtyard, they'll fill it up with water and mud, and then at night, they'll put a picture of a snake up on a wall, and then they'll walk with her in a very slippery, muddy courtyard to train her how not to be afraid of the snakes, and how to walk through the muddy forest. So that's one of the services that the manjaris do. And in Russia, just now, just in the last few months, we asked Gurudev if we can take those Radharani Chandrika discussions and make them in a book. And he said yes, so that book hopefully will come out for Gopurnima. I asked Gurudev that, do we offer Boga in the same way? This is around 92. We offer Boga in the same way for Vaidhi Bhakti, that if we want to enter into Raghunuga Bhakti, there's some different mantras. So I said, in Vaidhi Bhakti, we do Namo Vishnu Padaya, Namo Mahabharanyaya, and Namo Brahmanya Devaya. He said, you do those mantras? Those are not offering mantras. Those are offering obeisances mantras. Every activity is accompanied by a mantra to carry that activity to its fruit. Like when we water tulsi, we say, Om Govinda Balabhi Devi, you know about that? It's in the Archana Deepika. For anybody who's second initiated, full recommendation to study that marvelous book that we have by the mercy of Giri Hari Guru and Ayuta and Vasanti. Especially Giri Hari, who manifested the book. So it's a must for all second initiates. So there it says what mantra to chant while offering water or bathing tulsi. Like for arti, we do the arti, and then we sing the arti song that matches what we do. And that fulfills it. So we said in Vaidhi Bhakti and in Raghunuga Bhakti, it's the same mantras, but it's not the one that I was chanting. He said, what you're doing is just like if you walk up to somebody with a plate of prasadam, and then you offer your obeisances to that person, and then you walk away with the plate of prasadam. You didn't give them the prasadam, even though your intention was to offer it. Because the mantra carries it to its fruition. So when they say the right mantras, and he was telling me, "Sing, Green, Radha, Krishna, Sajnam," he said it's the same in Vaidhi Bhakti as it is in Raghunuga Bhakti, but just the modes are different. So that I'll expand on more when we come to the Sunday talk. So in the many years that I was traveling with Gurudev from, I already went way back, 30, quarter of the moon. Well, we started at 8, didn't we? So how late should we go till? Should we stop here?
No, 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay. Tomorrow, I'll concentrate on talking about all the years that we traveled with Gurudev from 96 in the west up to the present year, to 2010. A little bit of each year. Okay? So right now, for these last 5 minutes, I'll share some of how Gurudev shed light on our previous misconceptions of Srila Prabhupada. One was, the famous one, of before I met Gurudev, I had thought that Prabhupada was saying that we all fell from Goloka Vrindavan. And I would quote from the essay that Prabhupada wrote in 1972 in response to some letters that he received from some devotees from Australia. Then, after Srila Gurudev set us straight, like in 1996 when he first began traveling in the West, in England, we were in England, and he started dictating all the evidences, and he told one devotee to collect all of Prabhupada's quotes to prove that Prabhupada never said what we thought he said. And then this book, Journey of the Soul, he originally ordered me to do this book, to get a team and do this book. When he called on me in 2004, now he called on different devotees to speak about different things at his Hare Krishna festival. So he called on me to speak about quotes from Prabhupada, proving that we never fell from Goloka Vrindavan. And while I was speaking, he interrupted and said, I want you to make a book of these quotes, of my lectures and Prabhupada's quotes. Mm-hmm. And then every year, as though he thought that the book had already come out, whenever he was talking about the subject, he would say, and Shamarani has compiled so many quotes. But we hadn't yet. We were in the process of. And then 6 years later, the book still hadn't come out. So then, just before it was printed, Gurudev had his Harikatha festival in South Africa. And I had my final questions for him. I said, Gurudev, this is the final questions. And then we're ready to print. So he said, you haven't printed yet? And I said, no, this is the final. And he said, oh my God. So he really wanted this out. So here, we've quoted that essay where Prabhupada, and many quotes we have here, which is the same exact quotes that the GBC used in their book, the original position of the Jiva, something like that, to prove that Prabhupada is saying we fell from Goloka Vrindavan. The same exact quotes is what we used here. Then explaining those quotes from the light of Gurudev's lectures and the light of Jiva Dharma. And then again quoting Prabhupada with another quote where Prabhupada explains himself in the same way that Gurudev explains. So, for example, Prabhupada said, formerly we were in Krishna's Leela, or Krishna's sport. As soon as we try to become the Lord, immediately we are covered by Maya. Formerly, we were with Krishna in his Leela, or sport. But this covering of Maya may be a very, 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 very long duration. Therefore, many creations are coming and going. So it seems like Prabhupada was saying we were there in Goloka Vrindavan, and then we fell. And so, since we were there, and since we've fallen, so many creations have come and gone. But then, from Gurudev's light of his lectures, he opens up everything so that Prabhupada, with anything that Prabhupada writes in his book, now becomes much more clear to us. Just from this example, from, like Gurudev said, I'm putting a spotlight on Prabhupada's books for you. Another time, he said to me, I'm giving you the shovel so that you can dig deeply into Prabhupada's books. And another time he says, Prabhupada's books are just like a treasure chest, and only the Mahabhagavat has the key to open that and get the jewels for you. So, through Gurudev's light, we explained that Srishti Leela, Krishna's creation Leela, is also Krishna's Leela. So formerly we were with Krishna in Krishna's Leela. Also Krishna created the Tatastha Shakti. That's also Krishna's Leela. And we were also in that. So then, we quote again how the essay continues, where Prabhupada explains things just as from, with the same light as Gurudev's light. And he says, even now we're in Krishna's Leela. We can never say that we're not with Krishna. Because the real position is that we're servant of Krishna, and servant of Krishna means in Krishna's Leela. Directly or indirectly, we're always serving in Krishna's Leela. Just like he said, even in a dream, we're still in Krishna's Leela. Just like we can never go out of the sun when it is daytime, so where is the chance of going out of Krishna's Leela? So before, you know, it seemed like nervous. Did Prabhupada really say it? But then everything is made clear. When seeing through the light of Gurudev, Prabhupada becomes clear. Then another conversation with Prabhupada and Yesomati Nanda, he's asking, so is the jiva allowed to associate with Krishna in the beginning? And Prabhupada replies, he's always with Krishna, but simply he's forgotten. Then you might say, well, actually, that means we're still in Krishna Loka now, we just don't realize it. So, one misconception, we fell from Krishna Loka, another one, we're still in Krishna Loka, but seeing through the eyes of Gurudev, now we can understand and we know what quote to put in there, Prabhupada. Have you not been with Krishna? We're standing on the sand. The sand is Krishna, because it's Krishna's energy. We're standing by the water. The water is Krishna's energy. Don't you read that in Bhagavad Gita? Bhumir Apanalo Vayur? So is it different from Krishna? So Yasomati Nanda says, no, but... So then Prabhupada said, my body is also Krishna's energy. I am also Krishna's energy. So I'm always with Krishna. So in one part of that essay, Prabhupada wrote, even with Krishna, even when we're with Krishna, there can be a desire for sense gratification. So, is Prabhupada saying that even when we were with Krishna, there's still Maya in Goloka Vrindavan? There can't be, because there's only Yoga Maya, and as Gurudev pointed out, we can see in Prabhupada's translation of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Dhamma Sreena Sadhana Rastakua Kam Satyam Param Dhimahi, that there's never any illusion in Krishna's eternal abode. Only Yoga Maya is there. So, when Prabhupada says, even with Krishna, the desire for sense gratification can be there, so how do we reconcile? Because even we're with Krishna now. We're standing on this ground. The ground is also Krishna because it's Krishna's energy. As energy, it is not different from Krishna. Like that. So in this way, our whole reading, or thousands of devotees' readings of Srila Prabhupada's books are now clarified by Gurudev's mercy. Because the successor of the spiritual master, his mission is to uphold the integrity and manifest the true mission of the previous acharya, as Gurudev did so mercifully. So any last questions or comments on the subject?
What you just said probably even said himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam 4th canto, remember? When a spiritual master leaves, unwanted elements spring up to disturb the mission of the spiritual master. And the real disciple, he reestablishes the mission of the spiritual master. So no one has done that like Gurudev.
Thank you.
Loud?
Comment?
Yes.
Prabhupada said that information that we are the marginal energy and we don't separately exist from Krishna. So we, the example, like the heat and light doesn't separately exist out of fire, it's always. So when I was reading this book, Buddha's guidance, then I understood that this marginal energy actually is now also it's existing with Krishna present, but because it is of the tatastha nature, it has accepted Maya to be under the control of Maya rather than under the control of Krishna's infinite potency. So in that way, it's still with Krishna, but it is not serving Krishna. It's trying to serve the external energy.
So you're saying it's serving Krishna indirectly then, and still it's all in Krishna.
It is with Krishna because the marginal energy cannot be separated from Krishna. Right? It's with Krishna, but then it is not serving the will of Krishna. So Krishna wants the jiva to be with him, but it is exercising its independence to be with the separate from Krishna. But
so your conclusion is what?
It's still with Krishna, but then against the will of Krishna.
So serving Krishna indirectly.
Not serving Krishna. It's still with Krishna, but it's against the will of Krishna. Krishna wants the jiva to be with him, but then the jiva wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. So it's with Krishna, but against the will of Krishna.
So you're saying that we're now outside of Krishna's desire because Krishna desires us to be with him.
Sorry, come back.
Krishna desires us to be with him.
Yeah.
So by Krishna's will, he creates this material world. And for those who turn away from him, Krishna has this material world waiting for us to help us to serve his will by sending incarnations, by making the material world miserable. So we're serving Krishna's will indirectly by serving his Maya. Srila Gurudev explained, and Prabhupada, that we're serving Krishna indirectly. No one can be free from serving Krishna, either directly with love or indirectly through his Maya. And Maya is working under his direction. Maya yakshena prakriti shuyute cha characharam. So in that way, we're serving Krishna's will indirectly, because this material nature is also created by Krishna to help us to come to serve him in Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes.
And as you said, we are within Krishna.
I was saying that because you are the energy of Krishna, your marginal energy of Krishna, in that context we are with him, because the energy cannot separate the energy. It is with Krishna. But then it is not serving the will of Krishna directly. And what Krishna wants is not. But however, Krishna has got a plan indirectly how to bring the jiva. That purpose is serving. Like for example, we have come here and we are suffering, we have returned away. But still Krishna has got a plan to bring us again back by giving three miseries, Adhyasmi, Kalidavis and Adhipavati. So by that way, we are serving an indirect plan of getting experience of the suffering here and one day to turn towards Krishna.
So then, in that regard, what will you think when you're experiencing any of the threefold miseries?
I will just suffer. I'm not. When I am suffering the threefold miseries, I say that it's such a horrible place here. There should be something, there should be some place where there is no misery.
What positive thought can you have when you're experiencing the threefold miseries?
Positive thought is, I would go to a place where there is, I want to get rid of this, I want to always be disease free, like problem free, you know. The next thought would be that, is there any place that is problem free?
Well, you already know the place. You're telling me how a living entity gradually progresses. So when we experience the threefold miseries and we're trying to be devotees, what should we think? What verses can we remember? Very good.
I don't know the verse, but it's the mercy of Krishna that is giving us this mercy, misery, so that we can remember him and brought that which should have been so big has come in a very small, so that we can do it.
And what do we do? What does that verse say to do? when we understand that it's Krishna emerging. Is that what the verse says?
I don't know what.
What does the verse say? Anybody? What does this verse, Tathenu Kampam, say? The three things to do. Okay, we accept it as mercy. So then what do we do about it? It says three things to do. What are those three things? Can anybody help him? Which means what?
By your body and mind's words, offer your pranams, remember the Lord, serve the Lord.
Right, offer your body, mind, and words in great enthusiasm to the Lord. And when he does that, remembering that it's Krishna's mercy, and that Krishna's, it's my karma, but my karma is ultimately Krishna's mercy, then I increase my service to Krishna with my body, mind, and words. And then what's the result of that? The result of that is that I become a rightful heir to the kingdom of God. So there's another verse. Gurudev said we should remember three verses in relation to miseries. If I get a misery, should I think I should never have married Radha Priya? She's the cause of all my misery. What are the three verses? One of them is Tathenu Kampam. What are the other two? Which means? Loud? Sanchi, can you help him? Or do you know? What did you say, Vasanti?
A safe and steady mind will tolerate all
these
things. The sage?
A seated deer, Muni, will tolerate. When he is known as a sage and steady mind, what does he do?
He's not upset at distress related at happiness.
He's not disturbed
when there's distress or elated when there's happiness.
When there's distress, and he's not elated when there's happiness. And he's free from? Such a person is known as a sage and steady mind. That's the second verse. Gurudev said to keep these three verses in your heart. Not that, oh, so-and-so is the cause of my suffering. Or such-and-such is the cause of my suffering. And then the third one? Louder? Meaning?
To chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself Lord and strong and weak, and to be more tolerant than the tree, and to be devoid of any desire for anger, honor, and to offer all respect to others. Such a state of mind, one can do kirtani as desire to chant the holy name of the Lord.
That's a good note to end on. Go up and